Thank you for coming. Matthew 24. I looked last week at this thought of good morning, Lord, and dealt with the fact that each day there'll be things that we face, that we're confronted with. Problem is, when you get up each morning, you don't know what's going to come that way, your way that day. So it's good to get up and prepare our hearts and our minds and our wheels for that day, to be ready. Dealt with several different things. We need to get ready for a day of surrendering, saying, Lord, this is your day, and I am yours. Do with me what you will. Help me to be ready. And then to get ready for a day of Scripture, we need to make sure that each moment of our day is defined and directed by the Word of God, not in my opinion or my desire, but what does God say? And then also get ready for a day of service. David went to figure out and to find out how his brothers were faring, and he was willing to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that God saw fit. That ought to be our attitude early in the morning. Whether your early is 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock, doesn't matter, the beginning of your day. And then also get ready for a day of salvation. If you're not saved today, sure would be a good day to get that settled. I'll say it again. But I want to continue that thought and say that to get ready for a day of seeing, that may sound kind of strange to begin with, but look in just verse 44 to get our thought. Jesus talking says, therefore, be ye also ready. Be ready now. Why? For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I thought about this. This message keeps growing. I thought about this. The day may be the day we see Him. Now, Jesus is talking here in chapter 24 about the second coming, not the rapture. But I thought about it. He's saying you need to be ready. It means we're supposed to be ready before He comes. And each day, listen, we ought to get up every morning realizing today may be the day He comes. If Jesus warned them and us about getting ready for the second coming and the rapture 7 years earlier than the second coming, how much more should we be getting ready for the rapture? In seeing Him, Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. That's the first promise of the rapture in the New Testament. The first time that it's mentioned in Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, looking for it, watching for it, expecting it. I wonder this morning, how many of us have even now that our day has progressed several hours, for some of us, have we even thought today may be the day He comes? Every morning we ought to get up and realize today may be the day I see Him. I need to prepare my heart every morning for that day to get ready for seeing. I think about the rapture and the results of the rapture. By the way, it is real. Just because He hasn't come yet doesn't mean He's not going to. The rapture is a reality. He is coming. I just said He promised that He's coming. He has not forgotten that promise. Sometimes as a little boy, my mama would make a promise, and I'd think, she's done for God, sure as the world. Olivia must think we forget in 3 minutes because she's always reminding us. We finally just say, if you don't hush, you ain't getting it. But He, even though it's been a while, and He has not come, it doesn't mean He isn't. The rapture is a reality, but I want to mention the results of the rapture. He is coming, and He is coming to receive His bride. Now, the church has never really called the bride of Christ in the New Testament. But it is implied that we are his bride. And like a young man and a young girl preparing for their wedding, boy, they both get ready. They both prepare. That young girl has anticipated that since the day she could think. All her life, little boy's out and killing stuff and hunting stuff and all that, but that little girl thinks about a baby and a little family and a husband and her Prince Charming riding in on a white stallion, and she has thought about this all of her life, but now that that dummy has proposed to her, she really has looked forward to it, and she's preparing herself and adorning herself, and the day comes when finally here he comes. He's standing there, and she comes down the aisle, and they're wed, and they're united, and finally her dreams come true. And the Lord says, that's kind of like it is with me. Just like that groom. Look, I'm looking forward to it more than you are. If you want to go there, he wants you there more than you want to be there. And the bride prepares herself. And that's one of the things that the Lord is coming back for, to receive his bride. But not only is he coming to receive his bride, he is coming to remove the Holy Spirit. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The word letteth there means to hold down or to hold back. Right now, the Holy Spirit is holding back the evil and the ungodliness of the world. You wouldn't hardly think so. As wicked as this world is and as vile as man is, you think they are running as rapid as they can be, but even now, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is holding them back. But when the rapture takes place and Jesus comes and receives those who are truly saved, receives his bride, the Holy Spirit will go with us. And he'll go back to the Old Testament ministry of coming and going. And that restraining power will be drawn away from the world, and men will run rampant. And wickedness will be so vile, worse than you can ever imagine. And when he comes, that's one of the things that's going to happen. He has come. I'm talking about the reality of the rapture, but also the results of the rapture. He comes to receive his bride. He comes to remove the Holy Spirit, but he also comes to reprove Israel and the world. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 calls the tribulation period Jacob's trouble. You see, God chose Israel as his chosen people. And he wanted to use them to evangelize the world, but they failed. And when Jesus came to this world to set up the kingdom, they rejected him. They said, we want no part of this man. So God set Israel aside and grafted us Gentiles in. I'm glad that he did, because I'm saved. But he's coming, the Lord's coming. When he comes, he'll receive his bride, and tribulation will set in this world. And God will deal with Israel again. He'll reprove Israel. He'll chasten Israel. And there'll be such judgment in this world. The Bible talks about it as his wrath being poured out. You talk about a horrible time. Could I say this? I say it carefully. It'll be hell on earth. And he comes to take us out to where he can deal with Israel and the world. And his wrath will be poured out on this world like never before. That's the results of the rapture. Not only the reality of the rapture, and the results of the rapture, but I want to ask you about this, the rapture and its relief. I'm looking forward to it because it's getting me out of this world. Talk about some relief. I feel like every day I need some relief from the world, the flesh, from me and the devil. And the rapture's going to provide all that. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He gets us out before the trouble comes. He relieves us of our burdens and our troubles and our trials. Revelation 3:10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That only can talk about and speak about the tribulation period. A time that's going to come upon all the world. That's never happened. But one day it will happen. God's wrath will be poured out on this world like never before. And we who are His will be gone before that happens. He says, I'm going to keep you from that hour. That's why He comes to get us. To relieve us from this place. To release us from this place. To relieve us of these bodies and this sin and all the trouble and trials that we have to endure nowadays. I'm talking about if He comes, it's going to be a good thing. Well, three of you think it is. I hope there's more going than just those three. I'm talking about the rapture, its reality, its results, its relief. Let me mention this, or rapture and its response. I'm talking this morning about getting up every day and realizing this may be the day He comes. And I want to ask you, how should you respond to that? What should be, should not it make a little bit of difference in my life if I realized He could come today and fetch me out of here? Should I not realize that these are my last few minutes or my last few hours, that these last few minutes or these last few hours should make a difference? There's a certain way I should act until He comes. The rapture and its response, it ought to encourage us. It ought to excite us. It ought to energize us to realize He may come today and I'm going to finally be gone. I'm going to be shed of this world and shed of me. So how should it affect us? Well, first, we should not be scared. Shouldn't scare us that we're going with Him. Even the trip there. Some of us have problem with heights. I don't have a problem with flying. I just have a problem with heights. Now, I don't understand that a bit either. But I want to tell you, when my body's going to be changed before I get off the ground, so it'll be all right anyway. But more important than just a flight home, shouldn't scare us that our life's about to end. Because in the morning hours when I'm talking about getting ready for it, we should make sure our heart's right. And make sure we're in His will. To where we can really say, Lord, if today is the day, I'm okay with it. By the way, it don't matter if you're okay with it or not. When He's coming, ready or not, here I come. But I'll be honest, today would be fine with me. It'd be fine with me. So we need to not be scared. We need to not be shaken. You see, there's a whole lot of trouble in this world right now. I say this morning, we're in a scary world. If you're not a little bit scared, if you're not a little bit nervous about it, you got your mind turned off. Or you're not watching and listening. But I'm glad, in spite of all the trouble in this world, I don't have to be scared a bit. Because He said it's going to be this way right before I come back. So just because I'm looking at some scary things, some unsettling things, does not mean I have to be scared or shaken. I am seeing what he said it would be like right before he comes. So I ought to say, amen. Yippee. Man, he's about here. Shouldn't be scared or shouldn't be shaken. We ought to say, oh, thank you, Lord. It breaks my heart to see all the trouble and burdens in this world. It breaks my heart to see the wickedness is rampant in this world. But you said it's going to be this way. It breaks my heart to see the deadness and the satisfaction and the sleepiness and slumber of the church. But you said it would be this way. It breaks my heart to see people running from old-fashioned worship. But you said it would be this way. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to be shaken because you said it's going to be this way. You said to expect it. I should not be surprised. I shouldn't be scared. I shouldn't be shaken. I shouldn't be surprised. I say quite often, I can't believe it's as bad as it is. But I shouldn't say that because he told me to expect it. We should not be surprised when we see it. I'm talking about the rapture. If he's coming today, how should that affect my life? I shouldn't be scared, shaken, surprised. I surely shouldn't be sinful. There's a vast move of wickedness in this world. And in the church world, there's a vast movement away from the old-fashioned standards and convictions and godliness. And if we're not careful, we'll get swept up in that wave. We'll be pulled down the drain. But we should realize I cannot let that happen. I will not be sinful. I will not let my flesh take over. Titus says it like this, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This present world where the whole world's gone away. The whole world's gone bad. And much of the church world has. He said, make sure you don't. Don't you be sinful. Don't you go away. Don't you be one of the ones that wonders. Listen, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He said, in the late days when everybody's going wicked, don't you go wicked. In the last days when everybody's going away, don't you go away. You keep serving God. You keep a good, godly lifestyle when others don't. 1 John 3:3 says, every man that hath this hope, what hope? That he's coming. Listen, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. If I really believe he may come today, I'd better make sure my life is pure. I ought to make sure my life is pure. Of the rapture. He's coming. I'm talking about every morning we ought to get up and realize I may get to see him today. He may come and be coming today. And that means I shouldn't be scared. It means I shouldn't be shocked or surprised. It means I shouldn't be shaken. It means I shouldn't be sinful. It means I shouldn't be slack. Listen, that's why Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Writer Hebrews says, boy, you better realize the closer it gets to my coming, the least desire people's going to have for the house of God. It'll be like the devil intensifies his attack on people saying, oh, it's just one service. I got a good reason not to go. I just don't feel like it. I'm busy. I went last week. There'll be a an attitude of the lack of the importance of the church has. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't let that happen to you. We shouldn't be slack. Man, if he's coming today, I sure don't want to slack off today. If he's coming soon, and I believe he is, today or tomorrow or next week, I don't know. But if he's coming anytime soon, it is not time to slack off. It's time to hunker down more. It's time to be more faithful, more determined, more surrendered, more trusting. You ought to get up every morning and realize, even though it's been a long time, he's still coming. He's still coming. I may see him before the sun goes down in Trinity, North Carolina. Woo! I hope I do. Be fine with me. I'm weary of it all. Let me say this. I'm running well. I got 6 minutes before that clock, that key turns in your brain. I'm talking about this morning about getting ready. Good morning, Lord. Every morning we ought to get up and realize today may be the day. I may see him today. But listen to me. We need to be ready for seeing. We need to get ready every morning that if we see him that day, we'll be ready. Prepared for it early in the morning. Whatever time you early is. Not only that we should be ready for the day of seeing him, but how about being ready for the day of not only seeing, but the day of standing? I thought about this. I don't know exactly the time frame, and I don't know exactly when it's going to happen after we leave, but I know this. Sometime soon afterward, we're not only going to see him, we're going to stand before him. And we're going to be given an account, listen to me, for what we've done since we've been saved. And if I'm going to do that one day, it may be today, I need to make sure that I'm living today in a way that I'll be glad that I did when I do stand before him. Listen to me. Romans 14:10, part of it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I am not just going to get to see him. Hallelujah. I get all my problems taken care of. I got a new body. All of the world and all the flesh and all the devils behind me. Hallelujah. Time to rejoice. And it is, but it also means I may get to stand before him one day. Excuse me, today. And give an account of how I lived. Now, I'm not so ready for that. And if you are, you're either living a whole lot better than I am or you don't know what you're going to face. Because we will stand before the one who died for us face to face and give an account of our lives from when we got saved till when we breathed our last. And those things we did of our own self or our own flesh will burn up. No rewards. It'll be consumed, even the good things we did, if we did it in the flesh. If it's just something we did of our own will, our own power, our own ability, it will burn up before us. But those godly things that we did, energized by the Holy Spirit and led by him, we'll receive rewards. We'll receive crowns. But I want to tell you, most of us, I am convinced, will be more disappointed than delighted when we stand before him. That's one of the reasons why God later on has to dry the tears from our eyes. I believe there'll be a lot of weeping when we stand before him. And if that's so, and it may happen today, when I get up in the morning, I need to prepare my heart for that day to where if I've got 1 hour or 10 hours or 23 hours and 45 minutes, before he comes. That during that time I've got left, I'm walking with him. I'm listening to him. It's more important than what he wants today than what I want. If I realize I may see him before the sun goes down, and I may stand before him before the sun goes down. I'm talking about getting up and preparing your heart every day for what's ahead. I have mentioned several things. I have talked about getting ready. I'm talking about getting up and spending your few moments with the Lord to get ready for the day. Get ready for the rapture, for seeing them, for standing before them. I want to say this and I'm done. Some, I hope, will get up and get ready for a day of seeing, because I may see them today. Get ready for a day of standing, because I may stand before him and give an account for my life today. For some, it's not a day of getting ready for seeing or standing, but it's a day getting ready for staying. Because I thought about this. Those who are saved will go, but those who aren't will stay. And I want to tell you something. If he's coming today, and he may, you better make sure you're saved. Because I'm telling you, if he was to come right now, those who are saved would be gone, and you'd be left here in this church with whoever's lost. That's the only thing that separates those that goes and those who stay, saved or lost. And if you don't go, which means you're not really saved, not that you tell people that you're saved, not that you're a good person, not because you come to church or got baptized, but because you got saved. If you don't go, you'll be left. You'll stay. And you talk about trouble on earth. I thought about all this rain we've been having. You do know that's a little unusual, right? What if it had been hail? Some of them up to 200 pounds apiece. Earthquakes, famines, drought, World War III multiplied 1,000 times. That's what's going to happen during those 7 years, or the last 3.5 especially. If you don't go, you'll have to stay here for the tribulation period, when all of God's wrath is poured out on the world, including you. An army of demons, 200 million demons, will be unleashed in this world at one time. Going to torment, to sting people, but they can't die. It'll be so bad people will beg to die, try and commit suicide, and they can't die. It's that bad. Knowing they're going to go to hell, they'll think at least at that moment it's better. The bad and the torment is so bad they just got to get some relief, but there is no relief. And if he comes back today, you're going to be left behind to endure that. Can't even put into words the things that's going to happen during the tribulation period. And that's nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. That's a Sunday school picnic compared to your eternity. You'll be left here. You'll stay here to endure the tribulation period. And afterward, you'll be taken to the great white throne judgment, where you'll stand before the holy God who wanted to save you and sent his son to die for you. And he'll say, in fact, Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart and go to hell forever." Where the rich man said, "I am tormented in these flames." And that was over 2,000 years ago, and he right now is still tormented in those flames. And a million years from this morning, he'll still be there tormented in those flames. It never ends. So I want to tell you something. If you realize you're not saved, if the Lord speaks to you at all this morning, it's time to get saved. Because today may be the day when He comes, and those who are saved are gone, and those who are lost are left. Listen to me. You've heard the gospel. I can look across this building and see faces that I know everybody here has heard the gospel. And if you've heard the gospel, people say, I'll get saved after. Oh, no, you won't. God said, I'll send you a strong delusion that you'll believe the lie and be damned, is what the Bible says. You won't listen to Him now. Why should He come and speak to you again? So He says, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the time of salvation. So I say to us who are saved, He may come today. And while we've got a few minutes, we need to keep on serving Him. In fact, serve Him more than we ever have. I don't want to be unfaithful. What if that little girl that had planned all her life for that Prince Charming meets him, loves him, he loves her. They plan for the wedding. It's the night before their wedding, and she goes off and is unfaithful. Right before the wedding. I want to tell you, right before the rapture, I don't want to be unfaithful. I don't want to fail Him in the last minutes of my life. Right before He comes, I don't want to do something dumb. So we who are saved need to be ready for seeing Him, standing before Him. And you who are lost, you either better be prepared to stay or you need to get saved. I got an idea which is the best idea. Why don't you get saved this morning? Why don't you quit playing around? Why don't you quit putting it off? You'll be sorry you did if you don't get saved today. Let's stand together. Many of you will come. I've been talking about getting up every morning. Whether it's 4 o'clock or 8 o'clock, it doesn't matter. Start your day and getting ready for what's ahead. Getting ready for that day. He may come today. We may see Him. Before I can get my next word out, He could come, and I'd be gone before I could breathe another word out. And I'm glad. But if He doesn't come today, I need to live like He could. And if you're not saved, today is the day to get it settled. If the Lord's speaking to your heart at all, today is the day to get it settled. I beg you to come to this altar. You're not coming to a piece of wood with carpet stretched on. You're coming to the Lord. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm telling you, He's wanting to forgive you. He's wanting to save you. He's wanting to improve your life and give you a better eternity. Will you come and let Him do that? Will you call on Him today? Will you turn from your sin and believe on Him and be saved? We who are saved ought to be stirred into a commitment of our lives and our walk with Him. Father, please speak to hearts. Help us to hear You. May every person do right now in this invitation what they'll be glad they did when they stand before You and give an account of what they did. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Please come.